not much time in her life until the end. They hold each other and cry that day. Their smiles seem to hide the tears that roll away. She says life now, when will she know he is there? All the pain inside never goes unknown by a savior who's waiting to care. Another lady sits by the bedside of a friend. Not much time in a life until the end. They hold each other and cry that day. For soon they know all the pain will go away. She says, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. If I'm not healed now, their whole I will be. If not you, tell me who would have told me of Jesus. If not now, when would I know he was there? All the pain inside never went unknown by a savior who's waiting to care. Oh, if not you, tell me who will tell them of Jesus. If not now, when will they know he is there? All the pain inside never goes unnoticed by a savior who's waiting to care. Oh, if not you, tell me who. Tell the world of Jesus.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Monday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio. Today, we have a new show. And if you're just joining us live, this is our third time, and it is called, I'm going to go blank again. Hi, Tracy.
Safety first. Safety first.
Safety first.
It's Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law. Again, forgive me, I'm on the East Coast, and we are here live from Virginia at Rebecca Lawler's beautiful office. So, Tracy, we just want to say thank you to all of our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, BMB Builders. We have Serve Pro in Laguna Beach and Laguna Hills, and so many more. So take it away, Tracy. And hello, Star. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Tracy, take it away.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. And Star, thank you for coming. This is going to be a great show. And, you know, I do want to say thank you to Rebecca, because what she's doing is absolutely amazing. And I was quite impressed learning more about Rebecca and all she's doing to help support survivors and move forward in their lives. And you can purchase her heart, her hope, what was it, Hope of Heart? That
it is the Hearts of Hope.
Hearts of Hope to support your cause. I mean, what a wonderful idea.
Yeah, can I share a little bit about that heart?
I would love to. I'd love to hear about it and share it with everybody.
Yeah, your audience can find it at www.heart4.com. And Rebecca created this heart because Rebecca comes from extreme child sexual abuse. And God brought this heart to her heart. And in order to create it, it is a blown glass heart in the size of, what would you say, I'm going to say bigger than a silver dollar, if anyone even knows what silver dollars are anymore. And the glass, or the heart is a blown glass, and it has a diamond set in the top of the center of that heart. But in order for the artist, and it's a little man here in Virginia, he looks at each and every heart when he creates it, because he has to wait until the heart gets a certain color of red, the heat of the flame. And as soon as it gets that color of red, he puts the diamond in and pulls it off the flame, and boom, it sets the diamond. And yeah, it's amazing that it works out this way, because just like God puts us in a fiery furnace and refines us, the heart is created exactly the same way. So the energy that you get from that heart when you wear it comes from one of the purest places, and that's why Rebecca created it. And yes, we're using it as a fundraiser, and if anybody would like them, then absolutely go buy it at heart4, that's heartfore.com.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for telling us about this. So, we have a great show today. I've got several things I want to talk about, but we're going to start with introducing Star Myers from Voices Amplified. She's here to join me, and we're going to just have some great conversation. Star, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome.
I was typing the heart foray in the chat room for anyone that's in there.
It's so cute. You said it just like a lot of people do, Star 4A, and that sounds very, but actually it's four, and the only thing you can yell on a golf course is four, F-O-R-E, and it means get out of our way. We are a force to promote action. So welcome to the team, Star, because now you are a force to promote action.
Thank you.
Yes. And now I understand where that comes from. I like that.
Maria, really what you're doing is so fabulous. And the way you put together your passion is beautiful. And it's a great inspiration to people out there who really want to do something with that burning passion inside. And you created such a beautiful platform for me to be able to share my passion. And the way it's passed on like that is just, it's priceless, and it's a God's gift.
Amen.
So thank you.
Amen. Have a great show. I'll be right in the background doing what I love doing best, and that's producing. I'm going to you.
Okay. So, hey, Star, how are you doing? I'm glad you could be here. What are you thinking about this whole Brett being charged with murdering his wife, Brett Seacat? You know, the trial's been going on, and they finally went into deliberations today. And me, it was like the shortest trial, it was just, it seemed like, I think it'll be a quick deliberation, but, clearly it's not a suicide like he's claiming. And women don't kill themselves with their children in the house. And what are your thoughts about it?
I agree. It was kind of odd from the beginning, yeah, because if you're going to kill yourself, you're not going to do it with your kids in the house, yeah,
and
the whole fire thing, yeah, and him having time to obviously go get the kids out, but not her, huh?
Right, and then the fact that she actually had told her therapist, her fears, and a friend her fears, that he would burn her burn her house down with her in it. And, you know, that's kind of where, you know, it's more of that is a documenting the abuse. You know, this particular situation is a little bit more complicated because it was a police officer involved case, and he knows how to protect himself, and he felt that he could get away with this. Had she had created the right documentation all along, you know, it would have ended up a lot different. But, you know, it's something that goes on so much behind closed doors. And, you know, I wonder how long the abuse was going on, you know, that did get overlooked. So, anyway, what do you think, Lucy?
I think the documentation, had she been able to do that, would have helped quite a bit. I'm just glad that they're seeing through all of it, because a lot of times that doesn't happen, especially when it involves.
And do you think they will? What are your thoughts? Do you think they will, the jury?
I'd like to think they will, but my faith in juries sometimes is kind of touchy, because sometimes it's hard for them to see what we see as survivors of domestic abuse, because you can see, I mean, it's like you can see that someone has been abused just by looking mm-hmm. at them. You have this bond, we have this vulnerability that seems to attract each other.
Uh-huh.
And you can see
that
doesn't mean everyone else can see that, because everyone's question is, why don't you report? That's a big question people always ask. Why didn't they report it? Why didn't they
leave? Right. And, well, in her case, you know, who does she report to?
Especially when it's a cop.
Right. So on that note, let's talk about I hate to bring this up because it is so, well, I can't say I hate because I really want to. But I really want to talk about, even though it is such a controversial case, I want to talk about Jodi Arias.
That's a great subject.
And I think we'll have a further discussion on it. But what I wanted to see about your thoughts and throw them out there is, you know, like you said just a few minutes ago, you can recognize a victim of abuse. You have this bond, being a survivor of abuse yourself, you can recognize signs and symptoms of another survivor. So on that note, I personally recognize and identify with several things with Jodi Arias. And, you know, possibly you do too. But how do you feel about that? Do you feel that possibly she was wrongly convicted? Or do you feel like she deserves the you know, personal mutilation, basically, you know, through the media and all that?
I don't know if I can say whether I think she should be convicted. I can say that I think she's wrongly judged. I think people see her and they wonder why she didn't report it. I think people wonder why she went overboard stabbing him so many times. But I look around at all the people I know, and I realize that any one of them could have snapped. You reach a point where you have been abused so many times and let down so many times that you just reach the point that enough is enough, and you kind of temporarily go crazy, okay? And this
mm-hmm.
is not right. It's not excusable. But the abuse she suffered was not excusable either. And
right.
I think
but,
if people start doing something about abuse and recognizing it, and no matter if it's a cop or a preacher or whoever it is, doing something about it and making it unacceptable, then people will be able to report it more and public will know what's going on. They'll start to see.
Right. So like in Jodi's case, and I saw this interview and I thought this was really interesting, and that she had made it clear in her last interview that she wishes she would have documented the abuse. And what's interesting is at that point before, let's say somebody snaps, they don't a lot of times even understand that they're being abused. And in like her case, she was so sexually violated in so many ways that she was told that, you know, were acceptable. And she, you know, wanted to please him so much. And so for that was being, I would think, just so personally violated. And I don't know if that was actually really, you know, brought forth in the whole case, because, you know, I don't know. I just think that there was so much more to her, you know, more than the PTSD, more than the borderline personalities that they're saying. She's not even aware of how much abuse she really even, you know, survived. And things that she was saying on the stand that I would almost want to just say the words for her, because I could understand what she's trying to say. But it was coming out, you know, differently. It was coming out, you know, where people could recognize it as being, you know, deceitful or whatever. I just think, like you said, she was just very, underestimated, but just misunderstood. And it breaks my heart to see the whole, insult the whole domestic violence survivor community. Because every time I hear somebody say something negative, oh, she should die, oh, she deserves what she did, or, you know, gets, or things like that, it hurts me. You know, it makes me think, gosh, you know, all right, I remember I acted out pretty crazy there towards the end. You know, I remember some of my behaviors not being quite right. I let the air out of my abuser's tires. You know, I thought, oh, I'm going to get him. You know, I'm all, you know, spiraling in my thoughts. I didn't want to cause him any bodily harm by any means, but I knew he was cheating on me at a bar with another girl, so I went and put little pebbles in his tires and let the air out. I can't say I went as far as, you know, anything too extreme, but things like that that's not my normal behavior. That's something I wouldn't do on a normal, you know, I'm a pretty mellow person. I'm not a jealous, you know, I can be insecure now that I have some issues I'm still working through, but, you know, I'm not that kind of a person, a jealous, stalking type person, but after I had been personally violated, you know, sexually, verbally, psychologically, financially, all these different ways, and just taking it and taking it and taking it, I'd say that my behaviors were, you know, not quite right. So I can see somebody getting to that point and snapping. And then what Miss that Alice LaViolette said is sometimes women get so enraged because they are in such fear for their life, and they will kill, they will shoot, or whatever they have to do to protect themselves, but sometimes they don't know when to stop. Well, I could see that too, because you are in so much fear for your life that you want to make sure that person can't get to you. And if they're injured but then can still get up, they're going to get you even more. So I can see why a victim of abuse would just keep going and going and going. I can't say that what she did is right. I am definitely not, you know, supporting killing your husband or intimate partner. But when it's a self-defense thing, and you're in fear for your life, you can't think. You can't process thoughts and store them in your memory properly. So everything's going in and out, in and out, in and out so fast. I just think she was completely misjudged, mischaracterized, and I really think it's a shame for the whole domestic violence community. I see that case. It could have been a really great educational tool to bring so much awareness to this epidemic that is secretly happening behind the closed doors, that isn't always physical, that is so subtle that it's really hard to document. So anyway, that's my little two-piece there. What do you want to say?
That brings me to a great point. Now, you didn't quite explain to us exactly what your show is about. How about you reintroduce yourself and tell us what the show is about the EAA and stuff like that, which kind of was on topic with what we were talking about dirty areas.
Well, the evidentiary abuse affidavit from Susan?
Yes.
Well, with the evidentiary abuse affidavit, it's born out of the Stacey Peterson case. It was created by Susan Mercy Milano. Susan Mercy Milano, basically, I would call her the queen of domestic violence advocacy expert. And she created this tool that is something that it's a process, but it's an educational tool that teaches the victim, the survivor, how to document the abuse, why it's so important to document the abuse, and what to document when you're documenting the abuse, and then what to do with it after you've done this. And this process puts the whole case into perspective in a very small package. And then when it's submitted to the appropriate agency, such as law enforcement, it makes their case very simple, organized, and they've got exactly what they need to prosecute a case, hopefully without even having to go to trial and put, you know, maybe a witness on the stand or, you know, in the worst case, if something happens to a woman that has been abused for so long and has created this evidentiary abuse affidavit, and then let's say goes missing, it's something that law enforcement investigators would be able to go and prove the case and hopefully find her.
Okay. And didn't they just create an app for iPod?
Yeah. The app is a it's from the Apple Store or maybe iTunes, and it's called IEAA, and this is the document that makes everything so simple. Is you can actually read everything you need to right there. It's a PDF of her book of the evidentiary abuse affidavit. Of Time's Up, and how to document and what you need to document. Then there's a recording button. And you then take your document that you've created, that you learned from her instructions, and you read it into this camera. And it's you as the person describing the abuse right there on your phone in your own room. I mean, you don't have to go to a domestic violence organization. You don't have to go to the police and get, you know, denied this and that and, you know, excuses made. You get to just create your own documentation in the safety of your own home. And then you can forward it to your email, somebody else's email, or even to the appropriate agency if you need to. It's quick. It's simple. It's really easy. My suggestion is to get the Time's Up book first, and you read that. That book will give you so many resources, so many ideas, so many ways to get back on your feet again, how to do interviews, how to resumes. That's a great book. And then if you're in sure danger, like right now, you can download that app and you can record anything, basically. It's a start. And you can create several and create your own file. And so you can start putting in, you know, as things happen, different incidences that you want noted that, you know, you don't really want to put on paper. You just can put the thing, record it, forward it. Create your file on your computer. Hopefully, if it's safe. If you're not safe with a computer, you're going to need to do it, I guess, through your email from a different computer. And I would say your email is really the safest way to store stuff and keeping your password as private as possible. Because I thought of these different ways of, you know, people that know how to get into your computer and stuff. But private email, change all your passwords frequently, and And I believe that you can actually prevent any major tragedies. You could probably get justice for your case, which in most cases, the victim never even gets to see justice. And there's just so much potential in this tool to help people that are in a dangerous situation right then and there, to somebody that isn't even affiliated with any sort of abuse but knows somebody, you know, and then it especially is a great tool for law enforcement agencies, domestic violence organizations, therapists, any sort of mental health professional, even doctors and ERs, you know, that's an app right there on their phone, and they can get the testimony of the victim right there in the camera. So that's it. That's the Anger and Fury Abuse Helpline, David, and I swear by it. It's something that was given to me. It was a gift, you know. Susan just came into my life at the least expected time, provided me with this wonderful tool, and I was able to figure out what I needed to do, not only to get safe, but how to document the abuse, to then finally, you know, I was able to get finally law enforcement to listen. I can't say that I really got justice out of the situation, but there is a warrant for his arrest right now, and, you know, we're going forward. So
that is that is absolutely amazing. Hey, Tracy, how about we take a break and thank our sponsors at this time?
You're awesome. That would be great. Okay.
Soul
talk to you in five.
Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Hello?
Are we still muted?
Well, we could talk, I guess.
Okay.
It's
we were talking.
Okay. You're actually live. Go ahead.
Okay. How funny. Hello.
Okay, I just posted the link for Susan's book on my wall on Facebook, as well as in the chat room. And for those of you listening who are not aware, there is a chat room. If you go on Blog Talk Radio, we'll try to post the link every week to go in through there, but then we can chat back and forth, and I'll try to keep up and post links that we talk about in case you want to look at them.
And any questions that they may have, or if you guys may have, please, you know, feel free to ask. You know, we'll pull it up and we'll talk about it. I mean,
Perfect.
If you have something that you want to discuss, we're completely open. So feel
yes,
free.
Absolutely.
The other thing too, Star, is if you could post all of this on Tracy's Facebook page, Safety First is Murphy's Law, all of the client, or all of our clients, all of our listeners had the opportunity to go to her Facebook page and get all that information too there. So if you can post it there, that way we can get everybody to go to the Facebook page. Safety First is Murphy's Law with Tracy Murphy. Go ahead, Tracy.
Yes, please go to Tracy's page and like her page too, okay?
We'll be
amazing
tuning
relevant posts.
Yeah, and we'll be tuning it up and keeping it up to date. And thank you, Maria. I appreciate that. She put that together for me, and I feel grateful for that. So thank you. But Star, also you have a page, and you do a lot of child abuse awareness and advocacy. So that your page is Voices Amplified. And I always want to make sure that people know that they can go there too, if they need support or want to learn more. Okay. So anyway, back to what we were saying about all of the Jodi Arias stuff and the document the abuse. It's I'm repeating myself, tell me, because I can't remember. But was I saying in her last interview how she was talking about documenting the abuse and how she wishes she had documented the abuse?
Yes.
Well, I feel like I had posted in her support page. She has a Jodi Arias is innocent.com support page. And I love that page because the information there is true. I mean, they post police reports, the interviews, the videos, the testimony. It's full of really kind people, really supportive people, people who understand domestic violence, understand the dangers, understand the trauma from it. And it went from when I first found it, I think there was, 12, 14, 20 people, something real small, two-digit number. And it is now, they've got thousands and thousands of supporters there. So there's so much hate that's out there, but there's also a lot of love out there. And if people do want to, learn more on the supportive end of it, you can always go to that website. But I do believe she was a victim of abuse. What she did may not be the, right thing, but it could have been a matter of life and death. I don't think they proved beyond reasonable doubt. But anyway, needless to say, that support page is full of really wonderful people. I've met wonderful women and men, actually, and their stories are just as compelling. People that have gone through, just unbelievable stuff, but then are making it and are surviving it and have the faith in God and believe. And I think it's a very motivational, inspirational page. I don't know. Go check it out. If you guys are interested, I know there's probably a lot of people that may not feel the way I feel about her, but I think that she could do a lot of good for women in prison. Many, many women in prison that kill their husbands or intimate partners are there from, for the same reasons. And, there's so much out there that she could do, and it's really too bad that things turned out the way they did, and Travis lost his life, and I feel very bad for his family because his family is obviously just so distraught and so traumatized that, I don't even know if they're going to even be able to have a normal life again. There's the one sister who's the police officer. I mean, she seems like she's so traumatized from this that I don't know if it'll even affect her ability to perform as a police officer anymore. I mean, it's just going to be something that mentally impacted her so bad, so much that that she's never going to be able to go out on a domestic violence case again, or I don't know. I just think there's so much tragedy. So what I like to focus on with the whole case is the love aspect, the good out of it, the what could be out of it, and if anything, you know, an educational tool for people to understand the depth and the dynamics of domestic violence. You know, not focus on the hate and the you know, negativity and the people getting what they deserve, because, you know, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge another person? We're not in their shoes. You know, God is the only one. So I just think that we could actually take, you and I, Star, I think you and I can take this case and we could really break down, you know, certain aspects of it and really recognize the signs and symptoms of domestic violence. You know, like the text messages and those phone calls, it blew me away how it was just so dismissed, you know, and the things that he actually said of raping her and, you know, the fact that, you know, and you know a lot about this with child abuse, the whole grooming process of a predator, and you know how he was grooming her, and these different behaviors and getting her to read the, you know, the Book of Mormon and these different things to kind of gain that control over her, like he was the more powerful one. And she just, I believe she didn't even realize, you know, what was really happening. Well, she didn't, obviously. But maybe this can actually bring awareness to it, to where people can start understanding what isn't acceptable in a toxic relationship.
Very true. Yes.
I mean, really, it is. It's such a tragedy. And it's so horrible. But why not make a positive out of this? Why not bring this, you know, this to the forefront of what could be taught to people? And sadly, every domestic violence case, whether it's the woman or the man that is killed, it's a tragedy. You know, and the families that have to endure the pain for the rest of their lives from it, it's such a tragedy. So I just think that putting the most positive light with as much love as possible around it is the only way that we're really going to get through it and be able to move forward. Because, two, if we keep thinking about the whole, you know, cycle of, the, you know, what it's done to me and, oh, it's broken me down so much, that's never going to get us anywhere. And, understanding what we've survived, what we're overcoming, what we want to do, those are all the ways that we're going to find our way out of it, find our way out of that place that, you know, so many of us, you know, get stuck in. Anyway, so am I rambling?
No, absolutely not. That reminds me of a post I made today because I wrote that you can't, even if you've been through a situation, you can't judge somebody else's situation because each person feels differently and reacts differently. You know, so people are judging her situation and they're like, okay, well, why didn't she report it? Many people don't report for many reasons. First of all, you're humiliated. I mean, you don't, everyone thinks it will not happen to them. So when it does, you don't want to tell people, you're humiliated. Most of the time, you love your abuser and you don't want people to hate him. So you don't tell people because you don't want them, nagging you to leave because you're not ready to leave. You don't want them hating him because you don't hate him.
So, well, that or that there's so much fear. That, you know, for instance, like a police officer, that how are they supposed to report it, or where did they go, or the, you know, a lot of people, like, for instance, you know, my case, I reported to the police so many times, and it doesn't always turn into anything. And so for that, it's violating because it seems like they're making judgment when they don't really understand.
And that is the point of this show here, is so that people can be aware and they know that this is happening. Yes, because I think a lot of people sit in judgment. They don't understand why you're in that situation, and they don't understand why you wait to report. And then when you do report and no one helps you, it kind of makes you a little leery to report again when you're victimized once again by the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get caught reporting it, a lot of times that puts you in more danger because you don't want them to know. So if you report it and no one does anything, it causes more abuse often.
Well, that, or even if they do come out and arrest him for, a few days and let him back out, he's going to be even more angry. So that's always, a deterrent too, because it's like, well, okay, what are they really going to do? Domestic violence is a misdemeanor crime. It's not like they're going to go lock them up forever, and especially if it, the psychological, mental, all the emotional stuff where, it can't even be proven right away. And that's where the documentation comes in, because way before you even make that decision to leave, if you start documenting the little things, the one little thing that happens one day, let's say nothing happens for another week, and then you document another thing, and then let's say nothing happens for 2 weeks, and you document another thing, before you know it, you're going to have a whole page of incidences. And the thing is for me, I remember when it was time to start thinking about the incidences, they would say, well, what happened to you? Well, what did he do to you? And then I would draw a blank. It's like, how do you describe that he was throwing a fit in the car and he was, yelling at me and, I jumped out of the car, I don't know, I'm making that up, but you know what I'm trying to say?
So you forget the details if you don't write them down, and then you look like you don't know what you're talking about and you don't look credible.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so
you have to write it down.
So if it's ahead of time, there's not the anxiety and stress on yourself of trying to bring up all these things and write them down at one time.
Right.
I don't know how we get up to these subjects, but I love it. I don't.
It's kind of sad, but the sad part is that you actually have to plan to leave. You have to plan to leave. It's not as easy as just walking out. You have to document everything. And aside of that, you have to prepare your documents. There are things that you need that you have to gather, like medical reports, police reports. You need all these things. You need them in more than one spot. An advocate is a great place to turn because you can give them your information and they can store it so he doesn't know about it. But I always kept mine in my purse. And then I gave a copy to an advocate. That way, if he took my purse and I had to leave, there was more than one copy because you need those. Yeah, because he's obviously not going to give you the information you need after you leave to prove he abused you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you need all that information together.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it does take planning. And that's where Time's Up will go into what you have to plan for, and if you can get evidence, like DNA evidence before you're planning, your great escape, whenever it may be, get some hair from his hairbrush or take a toothbrush or something and put it in a paper bag and store it away or give it to somebody where it can stay safe. And then you actually have his DNA. And that also could help in a missing person and trying to identify and maybe even, who knows what. So, if you can get a piece of DNA ahead of time, you can get some video, maybe of the property, get some pictures of the property, any old pictures of injuries. Gather all that stuff together And what I did when I was planning my escape was I would do little things at a time because I didn't want them to notice things were missing. And so I would just gather, like, you know, a few different things that I would just kind of take, cereal, clothes, things, the little, you know, if I, like, for instance, pictures. I didn't want to take pictures off the wall because you know, would sense something. So sadly, I had to leave behind, you know, some real important things to me, sentimental things, but it wasn't worth my safety to take them or to take a chance of him noticing them missing. So I only took, like, things that he wouldn't notice, along with, of course, my paperwork. But I would store them in trash bags, like black hefty bags, and make sure it didn't coordinate with the trash day. But right before it was time to leave, I would store them out there kind of by the trash so it looked like it was trash. And then I had my one person that knew what I was doing who would come over and pick up the trash bags and take them to her house and hold on to them for me. And so then when it was the day of leaving, it was already packed up and gone. You know, I didn't have to go rushing around and grabbing everything and looking for stuff and, you know, being in a panic. I just knew, you know, okay, this is my time, I'm going to leave. And I just got in the car and I was able to go. Actually had a friend pick me up. So, you know, I didn't, you know, take off in a car that was registered to him or anything like that. And, yeah, I mean, I was scared to death. I was shaking inside while this was all going on. I had to really play it up. And, you know, in my case, I had told him that I was going to my mother's house for the weekend. And, you know, I had to plan that way ahead of time and make these fake phone calls back and forth to my mom, like we were making the schedule. And so then when it was time to go, it was like, okay, honey, I'm going to go now. Bye. That's how I left. And then, of course, I never went back. But that was, you know, I made many mistakes where I ended up back at the house. And then, you know, it's just, it's worth it to strategize and plan ahead. Definitely.
Now, where did you get your ideas for that? I mean,
Susan,
did someone tell you the trash
up.
Bag?
I'm sorry?
From like the trash bag outside. That's an amazing idea. Where was that from?
Let's see. No, at that point in time, I would say, I don't know, maybe an advocate. Maybe I can't even really remember. I didn't meet Susan. Well, you know what? It could have been Susan. It could have been from Time's Up. I'll bet you it even said, I don't know. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But, yeah, I made so many mistakes when it was when I would try to leave. You know, the one time I tried to go to a domestic violence shelter, and I was driving his car. Well, you know, the car I would drive, but it was registered in his name. And when I showed up at the shelter, they said, what? You're in a car registered to his name? Oh, you can't be here. You got to go. You got to go right now. I'm like, what? What? And they sent me on my way. Now I'm driving off going, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? This is my great escape. I was leaving. I wasn't going to have to go back. And I drove around for hours going, what am I going to do? Where should I go? Should I go? You know, so anyway, I went back to his house. I didn't know, have another place to go. I called other shelters. They were full. So until I read Time's Up, that's exactly what it was. Until I started understanding the importance of your safety when you're trying to leave, you know, I was making foolish mistakes. You know, the biggest mistake was telling somebody, you know, talking to people. And then as soon as he got the hint, you know, then that pressure would really come down. He'd really be watching me and, you know, have people driving by. And, oh, you know, the fear was just, I couldn't even deal with it until I started getting everything documented, everything planned, And once I knew what I was going to do, yeah, the fear was there, the angst, the, you know, because you're still fleeing. But that panic of not knowing what to do or what you're going to do was not there. And that's the way to go.
Now, if you could say one thing to someone just like you, what would you tell them? What would be your advice, your one thing that you would tell them?
To educate yourself and recognize the signs, because oftentimes we're not even aware of the manipulations that are going on. And if you can recognize it before, you know, it gets to the point where you're fearing for your life, you can get out. There's ways to get out. There's always ways to get out. But it's being able to be mentally conscious and aware, having faith and believing in yourself. And the only way you're going to feel that confidence and that and build yourself up to feel that strength is by having those things and educating yourself. You know, knowledge is power. And there's so much information. Susan Murphy Milano put everything she could possibly put out there to educate victims of domestic violence, survivors of intimate partner homicides. This information is so valuable, and it's not written. People don't write about it. But she knows from her own personal experience, and her passion was to save lives, save the other her women's lives. She couldn't save her mom, and she was bound and determined to save everyone else's. And, you know, she, every book, every radio show, every blog from her journals, they're all so full of information, and the different cases that she's highlighted have so much information that will educate you, and you will identify with or understand or see it or know somebody else. And it's the education. And the more we can put out there, you know, the better. And so anybody that wants to get out of their situation, that wants to get safe, document your abuse and start educating yourself as much as you possibly can. Get your plan in action and protect your safety, and not only your physical safety, but your mental safety, and your, you know, your psychological well-being, your mental well-being is so important at that time when you are in a fight or flight mode. You want to make sure that you're on top of the game and you're thinking correctly, because a bad decision is a matter of life and death. And so you want to make sure that you're in a place that you can get through this. And the best way is by the education, the knowledge, and documenting the abuse.
That is amazing. Now, the thing I would say is I'm glad you brought up emotional abuse. Many people think that emotional abuse is not abuse. It's not all just broken bones. It's not black eyes. It's words that said, it's threats. It's making you feel like you're not important. You should remember that you're not alone. There are approximately 45 million of us survivors around, floating around. Reach out and find someone and find support, because you're not alone. You don't deserve this, no matter what you've done in your life. It is not your fault.
That's right. And you know what? Understanding what emotional abuse is, it is really important, because before the physical abuse is happening, there is the psychological control that's being gained. You know, the person doesn't just walk into the relationship and punch you in the face. It's taken some time to gain that control over a person, to that they have that power to intimidate and you know, put that person in fear. And it doesn't have to be threat of killing you. I mean, it could actually be threats of taking your children away, or taking you know, your finances away, or things like hiding your keys to your car so you can't find them, or disabling a part in your car. Those are things that are meant to control you, keep you back, and sometimes we don't even, you know, put it all together. You think you can't report that stuff. You think, okay, there's no proof, but you can. You can report it because it is a crime, and it is just as bad as physical abuse. And it the more we talk about it and the more we become aware of those red flags up ahead of time, we can recognize it enough to document it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Now, we've got less than 5 minutes left.
Already?
So I'd like to, yes. I'd like to remind everyone that Tracy will be back here next Monday, and please find her page on Safety First, Murphy's Law with Tracy. I posted the links on there that we talked about. This week's show and last week's show are both on there, so you can listen to the show if you've missed it. And
thank you.
That's about it. What do
you
have to say, Tracy?
I just want to say I am so grateful and for this opportunity, and thank you, Star, for being my co-host. I love having you, and I think that together we're going to be able to make some noise and bring some great awareness to our passion. So thank you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Oh, I was going to say, and for everybody else, I really hope to see you guys again, come back next week. And if you have suggestions or discussions that you want to have, you know, post them in the wall, on the wall of the page. I think that would be great. We can get some good discussions going on there, and we can bring them into the show. So I just want to thank everybody for their time listening, and I hope you were able to get something out of it. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Star.
Well, thank you, Tracy, for choosing to have your show on Soul Sister Radio. And Star, thank you so much for your support. And especially, I would like for you to share about Voices Amplified as well.
Okay. I'm Voice Amplified. You can find me on the website or on my page, Voice Amplified.
Amen.
And what do you do?
I provide resources and support to anyone in an abusive situation or survivors. We have a support group where we share links. The website has many different links for almost anything. There's a male survivor page. Abuse, there's different resources you can find. I've got all the numbers for all the states, for the different child abuse organizations that you can call, and my articles are posted on there as well. And that's www.voices-amplified.com.
Thank you. Yeah, you do unbelievable work, and so many people just love what you do, too. So I feel grateful to have you with me on the show today, or every week. Okay.
And I'm grateful to be here.
So, Maria,
okay.
Next
30
week,
seconds,
same time?
Next week, same place, same time. You can find us here on soulsisterradio.com. Tracy, thank you.
Right.
You got 30 seconds.
All right, you guys, and remember to go to documenttheabuse.com to learn more about the evidentiary abuse affidavit and to purchase any of Susan Murphy Milano's books. Priceless information, and it's all for you. All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word, it's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh, out of school and out of control, set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold, and going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't wanna be told, I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown, when a voice from within said, save your soul. No, I didn't want to be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold, and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto, where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow, but what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow. You were round, and I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground, two hands bound to a siren sound, none of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone, a voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be, if I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before, believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow, if you will be my bow, and anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive, and with a will to strive, I began to rise. From 79, or was it 75? When reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated. To the point where I decided to chat the mic, but my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world I've sinned, it's no surprise, so with the media I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites sabotage their lives through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise, and listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Monday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio again. And we are going to do a little pilot show, and this is a brand new show for a brand new generation. And we are going to call it Clarify This Generation with Claire. Claire, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am here.
Hello, beautiful girl. Can you introduce yourself to the world, where we are, and what kind of voice you have for this generation?
Hello, I am from Williamsburg, Virginia. I am almost 19 years old, and I am here to talk about the generation of a almost 19-year-old girl, and I'm just so excited to be here and talk to you guys about that.
Well, there's so many things going on in the world and so many things going on with this generation. I am just really excited about this brand new show because, Claire, I am telling you, you probably have one of the most sharpest minds that I have ever met in your generation. And I'm excited about everything that's going on. But you just graduated high school last year, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in my freshman year of college. So I'm going to be a sophomore. I go to VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and it's in Richmond, Virginia. And this is I first went to Florida. I went to St. Augustine, Florida, and I went to Flagler College, and then I wanted to stay a little bit closer to home, so I transferred to VCU.
VCU. I'm getting all used to all these names of all these colleges over here on the East Coast, and it's beautiful over here. There's a question that I want to ask you, and
I want you to share,
especially with all of those who are in going from their freshman to their sophomore year of college. First of all, I want you to share a little bit about your transition from going from high school, traveling down to Florida, leaving your home, and that experience and how it affected you.
Well, I first knew that I was going to Flagler in October of last year, so it would have been 2011, and that was the only college that I applied to, and I had no idea what I got myself into because I had never been to St. Augustine. I had never been to the college at all, but I just wanted to go in it completely blindsided and just walk right in and figure out what I wanted to do, and it completely swept me off my feet, and I did not like just going in there completely not knowing what I was getting myself into, and I pretty much got myself into a hole. But the good thing about being in a complete hole is that you can only go up from the deepest point.
So I was pretty much in a deep point,
and then I got myself out of it.
But why do you think you got yourself into that hole?
Well, I think that I did not plan at all. I was just 18, or I was going on 18, and I was so excited to move out of the house and just go on my way and figure out what I wanted to do with my life and travel to Florida. And I just think that I completely did not plan anything out, or I was not prepared, and I got there, and it was just the scariest situation without my mom and without my dad and just not knowing anyone there. It was just so scary and being so far away from home. And I just completely wanted to come home. And I did really good. I stayed there for as long as I could stay there. And then I realized that I needed to come home and be happy with my family and succeed in a more close to home place that I could feel my heart was more near.
Well, it's interesting because I want you to share why let me stop right there. One of the things that I have recognized in the last 15 years of knowing you and your mother, you guys share a special bond. And I want you to share with our audience, that's part of the reason why you wanted to come home, I'm sure, because being away from her, because you guys just have an exceptional relationship. Can you share with the audience how that affected you leaving your mom and dad for the first time? Because, again, there's a lot of kids that have just graduated high school that are going to be experiencing the same thing that you did last year. So the relationship with your parents, your mother in particular, tell me a little bit about that and how that affected you leaving her for the first time.
Well, it's so interesting because I just wanted to move out. So, like, all through high school, I just really wanted to, like, move out. Like, 10th grade, I was just like, oh, I can't wait to graduate and, like, leave. And then I get to graduation, and I get to the point where my parents are like, all right, here's your boot. It's time for you to leave. And I didn't want to leave. Me and my mom are very, very close, and me and my dad are really close, too. And it's so great how when I was growing up, I always, like, wanted to leave. Like, I love being home, but when you're a teenager, you just, like, can't wait to get out there until you actually get out there sometimes, and you get to this place, and the first thing I did on the first night was call my mom, and I was like, Mom, like, I miss you. I want to come home. Like, I can't be without you. And me and my mom are really, really close. Like, I think that we got a lot closer, me being older, because we can talk about everything. Like, I pretty much, she knows everything about me and everything. She gives me the best advice. Like, I was in a fight with my boyfriend this weekend, and she just gave me the best advice ever, and it worked. Like, Mom always knows best.
Okay, you have to tell all the young women out there, what was the advice that she gave you? You don't have to give particulars or exactly. What was the situation, and what advice did she give to you?
Well, me and my boyfriend were fighting. I don't even know what we were fighting about. I think that we were just driving each other crazy kind of thing, and Mom was just like, you need to go hang out with your girlfriends, and you need to not talk to him. And I just hung out with my girlfriends, and I sent him a few texts to just let him know that I was thinking about him and that I loved him. But Mom was right, because by the second hour, he was begging for me to come home because he missed me so much.
Okay, there are some, I know that you are not one, which I can bow down to you, my little girl here, but you're not a love-addicted, codependent control freak. Well, you may be a control freak, but you're not a love-addicted person. For all those young girls out there that couldn't take those 2 hours and just do that, how did you do it?
Oh, well, I'm very, very blessed because all of my friends are kind of spread out in Virginia. Like, when I was in middle school, I lived an hour away from here in Norfolk. And then when I reached high school, we moved to Williamsburg. So I'm really blessed that my friends live in Norfolk. And so if I want to just take a few hours, or like, I went for 2 days, actually, I just took the whole 2 days off, and I just went to Norfolk and I hung out with my friends there. But if some of those young girls that just can't get away, it's like, you have to just tell yourself that you need self time and, like, girlfriend time. And you really don't even have to be with a girlfriend. You can just, my friend was at work until 10 that night, and I went to the mall. I just went to the mall alone and tried on cute clothes and just took time for myself. And it really does help. Like, you always have to take time to, like, bless yourself and tell yourself that you're wonderful and beautiful. And it really does help with getting over stressful points in life and stressful situations that you're in.
All these topics that you're bringing up, we're going to be creating little segments for you. And these segments are going to be the topics of, because I know we have a huge demographic of younger listeners, especially in Indonesia. And they are listening to us in English so they can understand you. And you're going to be talking to girls and men and listeners of all different ages, but I really want you to stay focused on your age group and your demographic. And one of the segments that I want you to have is about dating, what it's like, Okay. And especially for younger girls. And I'm not sure when you started dating, but we're going to take a commercial break real quick, and I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about speaking to those girls in that age category too, because I really, really think you're going to be a voice for a lot of them. So we're going to take a commercial break, and then I want you to think about, when we come back, sharing with the audience what dating is all about in this time frame and your generation, okay?
Okay, I'm so excited.
Okay, good. We'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
And we are back with Clarify with Claire. Claire, I asked you a question before we left, and so why don't you share with the audience about dating?
Okay. Well, I first had my first boyfriend. I was pretty young, but I don't think I told my parents. I think that I really kept the secret. And I think that my mom, well, they obviously found out. But I always used to keep dating on the down low because I really didn't want my parents to know or like be in my business.
How old were you?
Because I was, oh gosh, like 8th, 9th grade. I started dating. I was like 12. 13.
Gosh, okay, go ahead.
Oh, I think it was really like dating. I think that it was like a crush. Like, I remember going out with, I would like meet this boy at like the mall or something, and we'd like hang out. And I don't even think we even talked that much. It was just so much fun to like not even like, I think that my parents would find out. And it was funny that like in 10th grade, they would like be like, so we hear about this boy, but it's so much easier to just tell your parents because then they can give you such good advice.
Well, let me ask you
if
that.
I could,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, if I could go back, then I would definitely tell my mom because I think that she could have given me such good advice.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Why do you think so many young girls fear talking to their parents about this?
Well, I think that some of it's always that dad is going to be like, my daughter has a boyfriend and she's so young and I don't approve of the boyfriend. And really, when you're that age, you don't really have a voice against your parents because you're still in your parents' house and you don't really want to do anything to provoke anger upon them. And so I think that so many young girls just want to keep everything a secret, and that's not the thing to do, because it's so much better to just let your parents know that you like are happy and around being with this person makes you happy. Even if you're only like 15, like being with, a boy can be fun. Like out and going to the movies, it's always fun to have a companion that's different than your sisters or brothers. And I'm an only child, and it's different for me, I guess, because I don't really know what it's like to have brothers and sisters, but sometimes you just want to go out and have fun with someone who's not really a girlfriend and someone who you can just talk to about other things, because normally, like, a boyfriend is, like, someone who's, like, kind of, like, random, who doesn't really know your friends, so you can talk to them about your friends and stuff. And, like, sometimes it's different where your boyfriend is your best friend and you become, like, such great lovers and it's so good, but normally in high school, it's like you met this boy through a friend of a friend, or you saw him at a football game or something like that, and it's just, you just, it's kind of a secret, so you can tell them everything that's going on in your friend life. It's mostly like a friend thing when you're so much younger.
Mm-hmm. Here's one of the questions that I have for you. When you are dating young, and this is going to be a segment that we're going to talk about, and I know there's listeners, and I know your parents are going to be listening, but sex is a big deal, especially with our teenagers. Now, you don't have to tell me about your life or your story, but I would like to know, how are the younger girls, and we only have 9 minutes, and we're doing 30 minutes, by the way, how are the young girls handling that part when they're being really pressured into having sex way too young?
Well, sex lately has been such a big thing in the younger generation. And it's so sad because that one time is supposed to be such a big deal in a girl's life. And I personally know I'm older. I'm obviously older than a freshman in high school, but I know so many girls that are just now going into high school that have already been through that one experience that should have been saved for a much more important time in their life. And I even know girls who are in like lower than freshmen that are just experiencing those things that, first of all, it's so unsafe because you never know like what the other person, or normally it's like an older guy who's pressuring a younger girl, which is just the saddest situation to hear as a friend of someone's little sister who's already, you know, done something that you didn't do until you were 18 years old. And it's right. Really, really upsetting that some young girls have to experience that. And first, they're not going to remember it, because that's something you want to remember for the rest of your life. And second, mm-hmm. it's just so, it's too young. Like, the generation now, it's just getting so much younger. It's just boys and men are not going to have that respect for you that they should if you give it, if you just go and have sex with them. And they're not going to, they're not going to love you as, they're going to love you more than of a lust thing and not a love thing. And I think that love is, like, very, very important in a relationship that you want to maintain with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're off having sex with all these boys, first of all, it's gonna. One of my best friends is talking to a boy who he won't date her because she slept with two of his fraternity brothers, and it's so sad because she really likes this boy, and it's my very, very best friend, and she really likes this boy. But as soon as she got to college, she went a little crazy and she had sex with two of the boys that were in his fraternity, and he knows about it now, so he has no respect for her on that level at all.
Why do you think the young girls feel like they have to do that?
I think that a lot of the young girls think that it's not even that they have to, it's that everybody around them is doing it, so that they feel like they have to do it to fit in. It's not like they have to do it for the boy. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like, and some of the girls like have older friends and they hear their older sister had sex with someone or something like that. Like, I think that it's like a fitting in kind of thing, and they just look at blogs and the internet. And I mean, sex is like a big part of life, and I never realized that it was such a big part of life until I reached 18 and I went to college. And I mean, I had a boyfriend when I went to college who I went long distance being in a relationship with him, but half of the girls on my hall had sex with different guys. Like, once a week they'd have a different guy that they were having sex with, and it's so sad that these girls feel like they just, like, they have, like, so much, like, to look forward to in life that they don't need to go having sex with all these older boys that these boys don't care about them. Like, I think it's so hard to be a girl in society, and it's so hard to love yourself if you don't have someone else loving you. It's so much harder sometimes, especially when you reach 15, you want someone to love you because it gives you the self-confidence to love yourself. But if you're at 15, 16 and no boys like you that it's really hard to have self-confidence.
Exactly. And again, all these are going to be segments that we're going to be having on your show. So I want you to think about these different topics and we'll write them down so we can start thinking about them. And maybe you'll want to have guests on your show. Really, we have 4 minutes left already and we did this for 30 minutes. How was it?
It was awesome. I had so much fun.
See how easy this is. You're going to be great. And I am so excited about this show because one of the segments I want you to do also, and 3 minutes, 4 minutes is a long time. Why don't you share with our audience what it was like growing up as an only child?
Oh, being an only child was awesome. And there's sometimes
same thing.
Sometimes I look at pictures on Facebook of like people that have siblings and I'm like, the only time that I wish that I have a sibling is when I'm on vacation. That is the only time because I wish that, and I was blessed enough and my parents let me usually bring friends with me on vacation. But when I look at people and their families on vacation with their siblings, it looks like they have so much fun and I'm so jealous that they have like blood that they're like bound with and they go on vacation. And I think that I'm also a little jealous is when big families have like huge dinners, because my best friend has 6 brothers and sisters, well 7, she has a half brother too, so whenever they get together when they're older, I can only imagine like the family members that they're going to bring, and that's like a lot of family. Like I wish that I had a bigger family, and those are the only two times when I wish I wasn't a little child.
One of the greatest things by knowing your mom knows me, and one of the families that has adopted me is in Greece. And one day, you, me, and your mother and my daughter are going to go to Greece together, and we're going to sit around a table with all of these amazing people, because what you just said makes it speaks to my soul as it does to a lot. And in Greece, I can't wait for you to experience that in a different culture and in a different language. It'll be fun. We have 2 minutes left. So how would you like to share those last 2 minutes with the audience?
Well, I would actually like to take a moment to let everybody just sit where they are and tell themselves that they are so happy and blessed to be alive and that they love themselves so much, because I think that doing a little affirmation every day for yourself is such a big thing. And one of the bumper stickers on my car, it's from the camp that I attend. It says, life has a crush on you. So I just want everybody just to sit here for like a few seconds and just tell themselves that life has a crush on them, no matter what they're going through or any stressful things that are going on, that everything will get better and that life has a crush on them.
Yeah. Claire, it's amazing, and I love the name. We may change the name of the show. I don't know what you wanted to call it, but that was just what God placed into my head, that you are so clear that you definitely do clarify a lot, and that your name is Claire. I think it's amazing. We have 1 minute, and I will say we don't know when we're going to do the show yet. When do you want to do your show? We have different time frames. Be a good day. We have 60 seconds.
I would love to do it anytime.
Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to talk to your generation, find out when they would like to listen to a show, and then we will work around that. And again, Claire, thank you so much for joining me today and joining this team of Soul Sister Radio and all of our sponsors, which one of them is your mama.
Yes, it so, is. Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun doing this show, and I've been praying for you for a long time. So I just want to thank our audience. Thanks our archive listeners, because without you, we wouldn't be able to be excited about doing this, because we know that you are keeping us going. So, Claire, thank you so much, and thank you to our listeners on Soul Sister Radio. We will see you next week. Would you like to say anything else before we go?
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I had so much fun talking about life, and I cannot wait to come back on the show.
Yay! We will see you then next week with Clarify on Soul Sister Radio.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.